This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Plumbers 911 Football Monday starts now with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That is the show. Rami Makhlouf with you for the next 5 hours here on 670 The Score. We got Tyler Farengol on the other side of the glass and an eighth straight Bears loss to talk about. 30-12 the final in Minneapolis today. And you, the star of the show, at 312-644-6767. This game just ended a couple hours ago. You had Pat and Layla and Olin the last couple hours talking about it. I know a lot of you want to get in on this, so line up on those phone lines. Get in that text line, 312-644-6767, as always here on the overnight show on a football Monday, on a Tuesday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. We want to hear from you, and we have a special co-host for this show this morning. I'm never sure what to call it, evening, morning, as we head into the overnights. Brian Peronski in the co-host chair today. Brian won the opportunity to co-host in the Cubs for a Cure auction. So welcome to the show, Brian. Thank you for helping with the cause, and welcome to the show, my man.
Thanks, Rami. Very excited to be here.
And is it as cool as you thought it would be so far? The studios, are they as palatial as you thought it would be? Meeting Layla Rahimi and Pat Manley on the way out, that's got to be pretty cool, right?
So in truth, yes.
Okay.
I don't know how to call it palatial, but it's everything I dreamed of.
Good. Glad to have you along for the ride and somebody to talk to. In addition to our callers, our texters at 312-644-6767 throughout the night and into the morning here on the overnights. As I said, it was 30-12. And Brian, you know how this thing is done. You've listened to a few of these. We usually start out with a little recap of the show. So Tyler, if you could hit the NFL films music and I'll tell the folks a little bit of what went down in Minneapolis today as the Bears fall to the Vikings 30-12. It was the first drive of the game, and we all know how first drives of the game have gone for the Bears so far this season, and that is to say not good. And you thought it was going to be the old three and out that we've gotten used to seeing from the Bears to open games, and it was three, and then Thomas Brown sent the offense back out there for a fourth play. And honestly, I was like, yes. I don't know about you, Brian. I was like, yes, let's do this. Let's go for this fourth down. What do you got to lose right here, right?
I was excited. I almost thought they had the first down on the third down, and I was very excited to not see another three and
out. But then they did this.
Toss to Swift. He did not get it. Well, it's a bold call right there to start this game, because if you don't make it, which they did not, you hand the ball right over to Minnesota with outstanding field position in their dome. That's an excellent job by Minnesota coming up and making the stop there on fourth and short.
Hate the play call. I like the decision. Hate the play call. The pitch toss to Swift there, right behind Amagaje, getting his first NFL start ever. That and not giving him any help. No double team over there on that side. I hated the play call while I liked the decision.
Not the right call, not the right runner for that.
Not at all. Honestly, I was happy with what the Bears did, the defense that is, to answer that. They hold the Vikings to just 5 yards on the next drive and a field goal. Caleb Williams gets absolutely murdered on the following drive. And it was again, you saw, you know, what a rookie looks like at left tackle getting his first start and finding out he was getting his first start as Greenard, who was giving Amagaje trouble all night, just comes around the edge untouched and murders Caleb Williams. It's a fumble. The Vikings take the ball and they drive right down and make this a 2-score game.
Play action from Darnold. End zone. Touchdown, Jefferson. Shout out to Randy Moss after the touchdown from Justin Jefferson, his 8th of the year.
Randy Moss, who was diagnosed with cancer earlier in the week, Justin Jefferson giving him the shout out. Even if you're a Bears fan, warm and fuzzy moment there. I don't think that you could hate on that. Bears get the ball back, 5 plays, 13 yards, punt. It's what they do. There is a highlight, though, in the first half. We're not going to play the actual highlight, but there was a highlight in the first half for the Chicago Bears, and that was on fourth down. Sam Darnold, a short pass to the left, trying to find Aaron Jones. Instead, he finds Tyrique Stevenson, and honestly, Stevenson should not have caught that ball, Brian. I mean, you're just doing what you're like. That's instinct there. That's muscle memory. Ball comes your way, you just catch it. But he lost him 12 yards on that play. Like, it's a turnover, but it would have been better as a turnover on downs than it was as a turnover on the interception, quite frankly.
Probably. He had two lucky plays. He had the other one where Jefferson dropped it, and I think the pick was great.
There was that as well. And then the Bears, after that interception, they drive down 55 yards and they find themselves in a fourth and short situation again. And this time, I was saying, just get the three. Just get the three and hope you can go into halftime with this being a 1-score game. They did not, and here's what Thomas Brown and the offense came up with.
Swift gets hit in the backfield and then fights. He didn't get it. It's another stop for this Vikings defense on another 4th-and-1 carry by DeAndre Swift.
And that was how the first half would end. Actually, no, the Vikings would have had a field goal, would end 13-0 in the first half. They come out in the second half, and it's punt, punt, punt. Vikings get the ball first. Bears get it. Vikings get it. Punt, punt, punt. And then the Bears, this is the one moment in the game. All night it was non-competitive, Brian. I didn't think the Bears had a chance all night. And then there was this play right here. And for about 30 seconds, I was like, are they going to do this?
It's first and goal from the 1. You got the big guy in here at fullback. Hand off to Swift. He's in. Touchdown, Chicago. With Doug Kramer in front of him. In at fullback. It's a 1-yard touchdown run and the 6th of the year for DeAndre Swift. Flag is down on the play.
Yeah, they've got a couple of them down.
Number 68, an ineligible number, came in and played an eligible position. He did not report.
Oh, no.
5-yard penalty, first down.
Well, we've seen this one before.
We sure have. Paging Dan Skipper.
Oh, man.
Well, he's got a report.
He does, Joe, and the problem is I'm guessing now. I don't know, but I'm not sure anybody told him. This week, I mean, you just don't come in this situation and play fullback. I mean, they've worked him at fullback, and he never got anywhere near the idea of reporting. So, just a big mistake.
Dude.
We'll see how much it hurts him.
So, take the touchdown off the board, first and goal from the 6.
And they did not convert it. They did not get in the end zone. It was a run, a holding call, and then an incomplete pass. They settled for the field goal. You know, that's not his first time going in at fullback. I don't think anybody needs to tell him that you're wearing number 68. You're one of those big guys who doesn't get the ball. You need to report to the referee and tell him you're in position to maybe get the ball and eligible.
You would think he would know by now.
Yes, you would think so. So the Vikings go down, they score a touchdown, and that's when you knew this game was really over. It's 27-6. Bears got a blocked punt. If you're looking for things to be happy about, they did score a touchdown with just under a minute left in the game. Caleb Williams to Keenan Allen. But again, this thing was never competitive, and I the score didn't show it to the degree that it did last week when I was absolutely losing my mind. But I never felt like the Bears were in this game. Even when it was just 3-0 or 10-0, I never felt like the Bears were in this football game. And that's just, again, a major indictment on these players. I said this last week. I harped on it for the entire first hour of the show last week. There's no Matt Eberflus to blame anymore. And I'm not exonerating Matt Eberflus when I say that. There's no Matt Eberflus to blame anymore. There's nobody to point a finger at other than the players in that locker room. And once again, they did not show up ready to play football. And there's nobody to point at other than the guys in the mirror if you're one of the Bears players in that locker room right now.
I think that's right. I think there's a lot of questions you could ask about the organization, about the roster Ryan Poles built, where you end up with a rookie left tackle, third-round pick starting a game. But certainly, it's more of the same. You know, it's the same game we've seen I don't know how many times
it's now. Damning. It's damning to the guys in that locker room. And we're going to talk more big picture a little later in the show, but it's damning to Ryan Poles as well. And this culture that he talked about building coming into the season. And since he's gotten here, man, that's a culture of guys that don't really care enough. That's the culture that it's a culture of guys who don't show up to compete week in and week out. And like maybe some of this is Matt Eberflus residue, and these are just the bad habits and the bad vibes that were left behind by what was his tenure, and especially what it was the last 5 weeks that he was here. But this is a group of guys that just don't seem to care enough about going out and competing on a week to week basis. Is what I'm seeing in Bears games week in and week out now.
Yeah, you certainly think with some of the things that the players have said, which seem fair about Matt Eberflus. If they wanted to show that they were capable, he was holding them back, we'd see a lot more effort in a game like this.
312-644-6767. That's Brian Peronsky, my honorary co-host for a night. He won the Cubs for a Cure auction to sit in that co-host chair. And of course, you guys at 312-644-6767, the stars of the overnight show on a football Monday, on a Tuesday here on The Score. I'll just give out a few positives, a few negatives at the beginning of the show, then I'll get right to your calls. Huge stop forcing the three and out after the field goal. After the unsuccessful, or holding him to a field goal after the unsuccessful fourth down attempt to start the game. And honestly, I thought the defense fared well tonight. I know they had 30 points up on the board at the end of the game, but that, I mean, how many chances are you going to give them with turnovers on downs and fumbles and just chance after chance after chance and running that defense out there possession after possession after possession with little rest and never putting them in a position to kind of pin their ears back and play some fierce and violent defense. For what they were put up against tonight and what the offense was doing for the first three quarters of that game, I felt like the defense actually held up especially much better than what we saw last week when San Francisco ran through them like a hot knife through butter.
I completely agree. I think if you look at the first half, we had the same thing we've seen in that the offense is producing nothing. We end up with 0 points. But if you look at where those points come from Minnesota, they get a field goal, and that's it, off of the fourth down that doesn't convert. They get a short field for the touchdown to make it 10-0 after a fumble, and then they get a field goal.
Yeah, you keep giving them short fields and extra possessions, and any defense is going to break. Negatives, it's a much longer list of negatives. I already said I like the decision, hate the play call going for it on fourth down there on the opening drive. Caleb Williams getting blowed up and harassed again all night. That offensive line is a mess, and it seems to be more of a mess every week. I just knew they were going to get that 3rd and 17 at the end of the first quarter with the pass to Aaron Jones. I knew it. I was sitting there on my couch going, they're going to get this. And they got it the same way that they got it on 3rd and 13 3 weeks ago when these two teams played. It was a screen pass to Aaron Jones and nobody in front of him for a good 15 yards. I didn't like the decision to go for it on 4th with 3 minutes left in the second quarter. We already went over that. Minnesota's 3rd and 14 conversion with 30 seconds left in the second quarter. Sweat potentially offsides on a potential game drive killing on a potential drive killing sack. They have to get the field goal. And speaking of third down, 7 of 14 for Minnesota tonight, including I think 4 that were over 10 yards. The Bears were 1 for 12 on third down this evening. Rough night for Caleb holding on to the ball when there are open men downfield. Troy Aikman had a whole reel of that to talk about. Inaccurate on some open throws downfield when he did get it out of his hands. And then that whole mess, man, that third quarter mess of Kramer not reporting, wiping out the touchdown, that's followed by a hold. Caleb misses Rome. They end up settling for a field goal. That was like Matt Eberflus never left. Like, the incompetence and the stupidity down there in the red zone is that's what we've seen all year, man. And that's why I got it. Well, Thomas Brown has to own some of it too as the head coach and play caller on offense. But I just go back to the fact that you don't have anybody to blame for the fact that you're not competitive anymore if you're one of the players in that locker room. And the fact that this looks a lot like it did 3 weeks ago when you had that head coach that everybody was pointing fingers at. This doesn't look a whole lot different, and especially in those crucial situations and when they get down into the red zone.
Yeah, I think that's right. Some of the other things that just add to that list, yeah. I think some of the throws that Caleb made, at least looking at it live, real time, seemed concerning.
Yes.
I think particularly after that Doug Kramer play, the nullified touchdown, there were two or three throws there where it wasn't clear where he was going with that. He overthrew Adunze in the end zone after that. And so I would add that to a list of concerns.
It was a rough night for Caleb Williams. I didn't even look at what his numbers were to finish the night, but like last week, he finishes with an 86.9 rating, 18 of 31, 191 yards, a touchdown. No interceptions again, eight straight games without an interception, but it was, and those numbers aren't great, it was worse than what even the numbers look like. So a lot of those yards and that touchdown were racked up in garbage time. It was a rough night for him and a rough night for the Bears. They dropped their eighth straight, 30-12 to the Vikings in Minnesota. That's Brian Peronsky, honorary co-host for the night. Won it in the Cubs for a Cure auction. I'm Rami Makhlouf, and of course you guys at 312-644-6767, the stars of this show, and I know a lot of you want to get in, and we'll get right to you, starting with Indy and Esteban. You're on 670 The Score after another Bears loss. What's up, Esteban?
Oh, my goodness. Who could have seen that one coming, right? Hey, been better, namely last year. I just think there is cognitive dissonance when we're talking about pointedly firing Ryan Poles, almost called him Pace, can't remember anymore, and thinking that Caleb Williams is a franchise quarterback. There is a disconnect there to me. To me, if you think Caleb Williams is a franchise quarterback for the Chicago Bears and you think this GM found him and picked him, there's no way you think he should be fired. So I think as we're discussing that, I think we're broaching the topic that this guy is not the guy that we thought we were getting, right? And I think no one wants to really touch that because you have to have that belief if you want to have any kind of ray of light, any light at the end of the tunnel. But clearly, he's at least not as advertised. He is not playing as well as at least two other rookie starting quarterbacks this year. And at this point, he's going to be worse than the guy we had last year.
Esteban, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate the call. We got full phone line, so I do want to move on. First of all, when it comes to Ryan Poles and people looking at him and wondering if he should be a part of the future, given where this thing is 3 years into his rebuild, totally fair. And we will get into some of that stuff a little bit later in the show.
I think it's something you got to be thinking about. Yes. I disagree with Esteban that if you think Poles should go, or we should think that maybe he should go, that it means you picked Caleb wrong. I mean, he was one of one,
yes,
consensus pick. Everybody, you know, any GM could have done that. And Ryan Poles knew he was getting into. He knew he had to build a team around a rookie quarterback. And from what we've seen, he did not do that.
I get what he's saying, though. Esteban, I disagree with him. I'm with you. I disagree with him. But I do see his side of the argument, because I used to feel the same way about Ryan Pace. Because by the time we got to Trubisky, after he had already given us Mike Glennon, by the time he got to Justin Fields, when he had already given us Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky, and then we got to Justin Fields, I was like, I remember being here on The Score, being in this chair, and being like, I like Justin Fields, but if Ryan Pace likes him, I gotta wonder what's wrong with him. You know what I mean? Like, you lose so much faith in the guy making the decisions that even if on the surface, if on paper, the decision looks good, you got to wonder what you're missing. For me to agree with Ryan Pace, I must be missing something when it comes to quarterback evaluations. You get what I'm saying?
That's fair. I think we know that Ryan Pace made a massive mistake, not just drafting Trubisky, but trading up, right? Because he didn't want to get stuck with Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So we knew that was a very bad decision. I think it's fair to not trust his other decisions on quarterbacks.
But to say that if he's not the right GM to lead this thing moving forward, then we can't have faith in Caleb Williams because he selected Caleb Williams. Bad GMs, and I'm not saying Ryan Poles is, but that's Esteban's premise. That's the assumption that he's going on. Bad GMs have great players fall in their laps all the time. Bad organizations have great players fall in their laps all the time. Look at the Bulls since Michael Jordan, you know what I mean? Or since Derrick Rose, when those great players just fell. I don't think anybody, if Jordan didn't win six championships, I don't think we'd be sitting here going, well, Jordan is the problem. We'd be sitting here going, this organization couldn't get more out of Michael Jordan or couldn't get more. Well, we did say they couldn't get more out of Derrick Rose. You know what I mean? Bad organizations, bad GMs have great players fall in their laps all the time. If Ryan Poles isn't the guy, I still believe it's possible that Caleb Williams is just that great player that fell in his lap.
I think that's right. He's one of the bright spots this year. He looks like he is probably what we were hoping for as advertised. I agree with Esteban. Jury's still out. We don't know that yet.
And also, even if he is that good, and I know Caleb thinks he is like franchise proof, organization proof, dysfunction proof. He keeps saying, like, this isn't holding me back. I'm just going to learn from this. We keep hearing Caleb Williams say that. Like, guys, don't worry. I'm going to develop. I'm going to get better. We're going to get there. That's a guy who hasn't been here for the last God knows how many years. All he knows is success. All he knows is being part of great programs throughout high school and college. I don't think he understands, and anybody who thinks Caleb Williams is franchise proof, I don't think they understand that eventually, even if he is that dude, this stuff will catch up to him, and he will be broken like many a Bears quarterbacks who've come through here with high hopes and expectations and confidence before him who fell flat on his face because they were in the center of dysfunction.
It certainly is not a good situation. It's not the situation we wanted here, and it's not what Ryan Poles, now I made the same mistake, what Ryan Poles said he was building and was trying to build, right? And so I think that's a concern a lot of people have, is he's got chaos around him.
The
now.
Nest that they talked about building for Caleb to grow in while he was figuring out the NFL has completely fallen apart. Like it's a few pieces of straw at this point, and Caleb Williams ready to jump off the branch and see if he can fly. Like that's where we're at this point in terms of building that nest. It is not good. Got some text here, 312-644-6767 from the 574. One good thing, Caleb, while he did turn the ball over after having a very mean guy rip his arm apart, not knowing he was coming because he wasn't defended, I don't believe he had a sack. He went from 7 last week on his way to setting a record to 0. That's one good thing. That's Brian in Mishawaka. Yeah, I don't think they had an official sack. Oh, they did have. They had 2 sacks. The Vikings had 2 sacks tonight. But they were pressuring him all night. They were getting after him all night. And quite frankly, and I heard Olin and Pat and Layla talking about this, Thomas Brown and whoever put together that offensive game plan, shame on them for putting Kieran Amadaje on the island that they put him on with no help all night long. And it was glaring, and it was the first spot where it was glaring on the first drive on the 4th and 1 where they went for it and tried to toss right behind him with no, I mean, they had Cole Kmet on that side, but no double team, no nothing to help him over there. And that was kind of how the whole night went. You had this guy who found out he was getting his first NFL start, I don't know, sometime in the last 48 hours, and you're just going to leave him out on an island against one of the best pass rushers in the league and one of the fiercest pass rushing defenses in the league. It didn't make any sense. A, that they even started him and didn't go with Larry Borum, but then to not give him any help at any point during the game when they see that he's just getting abused out there in his first game as a pro.
Yeah. I think the timing is unfortunate. I think we ought to keep in mind too that Thomas Brown is in a tough spot.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But agreed, they certainly could have, you would think they could have done some things to scheme around that, give him some help, call different plays that may not expose so much of this rookie.
Or slide protection here over there, give him some double team. Help the guy out, man. Let's go to Mike. It says on my screen, or Lake Michigan. Mike, are you in the middle of Lake Michigan right now? You fishing? Mike?
Can you hear me?
There he is. What's up, Mike? Where are you at?
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of Lake Michigan right now. I'm fishing for walleye.
Oh, nice. I was kidding. You really I'm are. Kidding. Outstanding.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I grew up in Pleasant Prairie about 4 miles to the north of the Illinois border. So it's Chicagoland out here.
My parents
sure,
live out there. Miles. It is very much Chicagoland, even though it's over the border. My parents live right there. And, yeah, that's Bears country to a lot of people.
Heck, yeah. Yeah, sure it is, dude. Hey, yeah, yeah. F Wisconsin, F the Packers, dude, F them all. But, man, I ain't going to sit here and just calling it like a sob call or nothing. But, man, I'm sad, man. I'm a White Sox fan, hardcore White Sox fan. I sat through the whole White Sox season, man, all those long losing streaks and almost wins. And then now we got the Bears. They were up to 9.5 on some sports books, like, before the season. Oh my God, I don't really got much to say. You know, it's like, it's pretty sad. I'm sad, man. I'm pretty sad right now. You know, we got our ass beat. Yeah, I'm depressed. We got our ass beat tonight.
Mike, appreciate the call. I don't know about you, Brian. I don't. And this was last week. I was mad and probably a little sad, and it was manifesting itself in mad. But there was a lot of mad last week on the show. And this was the first week where I sat down and I was like, I'm not going to feel anything. whatever happens in this game, I'm not going to feel anything. And I did it. Like, I held to that promise. I won't let the, I'm numb at this point. I won't let them hurt me anymore. I'm not sad. I'm not mad. Like, I didn't feel anything tonight. I was just breaking it down from a very, like, clinical and analytical perspective watching that game tonight.
So I crossed that line weeks ago,
okay.
Actually. It was the last game that upset me was probably the Patriots game. And after that, I was done expecting good things. I will say last week was looking for, is there, you know, an interim coach bounce? Do we see something different from the players? So that was upsetting. This one, can't say I was surprised.
Yeah, I'm pretty numb at this point. Not to say that I don't care, but now it's more just like looking to the future. I don't care about these games necessarily, and I'm not going to be surprised by how they screw things up anymore because I've come to expect it. But I'm more looking to the future, and I'm not going to get sad or mad about the outcomes of games or the fact that they don't show up to play on a week-in, week-out basis. I'm past that.
Agreed, but I think we were all hoping that maybe we'd see a lot more positives than we actually did during this game.
That would be nice. That's Brian Poronski, honorary co-host for the night from the Cubs for a Cure auction, and we're going to do that auction again this year. If you'd like to sit in studio, stay tuned for your chance coming up later in the year. I'm Rami Makhlouf. It's a Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Plumbers 911 and by Bosch Power Tools and Busey Bank, and we'll be back right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Try to get as much out of this as you can for field position. This one is caught by Jones. Aaron Jones is going to reach and be very close to first down yardage. TJ Edwards missed a tackle along the way. And they move the ball up. This is going to be a first down. What a pickup.
Yeah, and it's kind of a design play. They get the ball to Jones. They got blocking out in front with TJ Hawkinson. It's really a long down situation that's essentially like a screen. Make it look like a pass. Bring the running back, Aaron Jones, underneath with his ability to catch the football. An excellent job picking it up.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That was on ESPN, and I laughed. I LOL'd at that moment because I knew they were going to do it. Did you hear what Troy Aikman said at the beginning of that highlight on ESPN? He's saying, you're just trying to get a few yards for field position here. No, Troy Aikman, you're playing the Bears. You have every chance in the world to get a first down on 3rd and 17. Just pass it to your running back 4 yards downfield, and he'll do the rest, just like he did on 3rd and 13 a few weeks ago. It's just comical at this point. Like I said before the break, I can't get mad, I can't get hurt, I can't get angry or sad by this Bears team anymore. I'm kind of just numb and looking to the future and seeing how this thing gets fixed, and I'm doing it with you overnight on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, along with honorary co-host Brian Peronsky, who won this opportunity in our Cubs for a Cure auction, and we're going to get right out to your calls at 312-644-6767. Dave on the Northwest side, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys, so here's what you just what you said. All right, 3rd and 17. Me and my brother are big Bears. We had this thing. Dallas, I bet you he gets it. He's like, no, I'm not going to bet you because I know they're going to get it. That's here's the thing. It's comical because they always give up the 3rd and 17, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15s. It's like, all right, the problem is when your offense is killing your defense and they're on the field more than they should be. And then watch this today. Not bad offensively. Watch this. I'm sorry. I'm not mad at you. 2 4th and 1s. What at 4-9? What do you have to lose? I'm not mad at you.
That's. I think that's what. Thanks for the call, Dave. I appreciate it. Please turn off your radio.
Just say, Rami, that Dave, the Daves of the world, are the reason that I wanted to be an honorary co-host.
Please turn off your radios when you call. But yeah, I mean, I said I didn't like the 2nd, 4th and 1 going for it there because you have a chance to make it a one score game going into halftime, and why not do that? But you also can't argue with the mentality of what do you got to lose? You're four and nine going on 4 and 10 here. Why not go it on 4th down right there? And honestly, learning moment. Let's see who wants it. Let's see who can go out there and do their job in these crucial spots if you're Thomas Brown and the Chicago Bears. If you're trying to win the game, I don't like going for it when you could make it a one score game with a couple minutes going into halftime.
Yeah, I think it's a reasonable call.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
I totally understand it, 100%.
Yeah, yeah, and I think exactly like you said, what do you got to lose? You're 4th-and-1 again. I like going for it. But definitely if you look at if they kick the field goal there, if Doug Krimer reports as eligible, you've got a 13-10 game at the beginning of the third quarter.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yep. You're right back in. And even if you go for it on 4th and don't get it, still that touchdown makes it a football game and completely changes the complexion of this game. And honestly, who cares? At this point, you're not going to the playoffs. But it's just the frustration is that it's the same stuff that we've been seeing. Do you guys realize that the Bears have not won a road game in 385 days? 385, because Jacksonville was technically a home game, even though they were in London. 385 days since the Bears have won a road game. You did your Christmas shopping last year and this year. Since the Bears won a road game. That's insane. You're going to celebrate two Christmases with them not winning a game outside of Soldier Field, unless you count London. That's insane, man. That's hard to do. That's a level of futility that is kind of hard to reach, honestly. That's wild.
It's a lot of losing.
That's a lot of losing. This long text from the 630, guys, edit. You know what I mean? Time to analyze Poles' track record of bringing in a turnstile offensive lineman and D-lineman and landing with the current starting backup roster of misfits. He was hired in 22. Let's review the two well-known building blocks of an NFL team, the O-line and D-line. For example, your analysis may show Poles has signed 50 O-linemen by investing 15 draft picks and 35 free agents and signed 45 D-linemen by investing 25 draft picks and 20 free agents. Lastly, where are those 95 total offensive and defensive linemen if no longer with the Bears? The point of this research is to answer the bigger questions. How does our GM compare to GMs in our division, Vikings, Packers, Lions? And if Warren decides to clean house, is it a justified firing of Poles based on his divisional peers? That has certainly been where the dude, and you know what? A lot of people will say missed, Brian, when talking about Ryan Poles and what he's done with the offensive and defensive linemen. Or, I'm sorry, a lot of people will say he hasn't invested there. He has. He's just missed on a lot of these guys. When you talk about draft picks, Nate Brown, the free agent signing on the O-line, he's just missed on a lot of these. And it seems to be his major weak spot is evaluating guys in those trenches.
Well, he's missed. And, you know, I know the quote that has been played a lot, people have talked about a lot, is at the beginning of this year, he said something along the lines of, I've never been more excited about the depth.
He said, this is the deepest offensive line we've had since I've been here.
And clearly he was wrong, right? Because we've gotten to the end of that depth.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he was wrong or if he was giving me GM speak. You know what? A GM is going to go up there and tell you everything's great, especially in a season where they're finally telling you, yeah, we're trying to win. But either way, like either he knew it wasn't good enough and he was telling us it was, or he thought it was good enough and clearly he was wrong.
I think he misevaluated, right? I mean, I think he could just have easily said, with the weapons we have around Caleb and with Caleb, you know, we think he's a very special player. We think our offensive line is good, right? We don't need the best line. But, you know, that's how a lot of people looked at it. That's how I looked at it, right? But he went and said, this is the deepest line we've ever had. I think he was satisfied. I think he thought he did a good job building that line.
I don't know about you, but when he said that, I gave the hardest side eye I've ever given somebody in my life. Like, I knew, and we'll get into this later, one of the things that I knew could be a problem for this Bears team, and we'll get into the bigger picture problems, was this offensive line. I wasn't buying for one second.
How about this, too? Do you think he'll come close to breaking David Carr's sack record? Like, how close will he come to that 76 mark? Because, I mean, he got, what, sacked 2-3 times tonight? He's only,
like
18 away? I'll
find it. I have it in my notes here somewhere exactly what the pace was coming into tonight. Oh, here it is. He's been sacked. This was coming into tonight. An NFL high 56 times. That put him on pace for 73. Now, again, two more tonight. The single season record for sacks taken is 76 by Derek Carr, and that was only in 16 games. So the Bears, if we're only going by 16 games, the Bears probably will make Caleb Williams the most sacked quarterback in the history of this league.
He's at 58 now?
58, yes.
All right, I will take the under on the sack record, but we shouldn't be having to have this discussion.
I don't know if you can go to betmgm.com and bet on that or not.
It's definitely pathetic that we're all kind of in agreement here that I think 70 is a number to watch out for.
That's just sad.
It's really sad.
Let's go out to Los Angeles and Cliff listening on the Odyssey app. Cliff, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Rami?
You?
I don't know, man. I have to honestly go way up to the top because that dude has done some things that over his last, I guess he's been the head guy for the last 11 years, that being George. Mm-hmm. And he has done the same stupid pattern every 4 years. And you cannot rebuild you can't rebuild a football team, number one, in 4 years. I don't know where this 3-year thing came from. I know that it could get better. But let's look at this Bears team before Poles came in. The roster was completely either old and or talentless. So you had to tear the whole thing down. Great job of doing that, getting cap room. And then the trade, we got additional draft picks. You're not going to win with just the agency. You have to build the team through the draft. I get what people are saying about the offensive and defensive line. Totally get it. Absolutely understand it. But your first 2 years set you up. And people are saying Caleb fell into his lap. Now, I'm not saying that he directly made the trade for Caleb, but he did pass on Bryce to have the ability to get that. You know, we went through that whole argument of Justin, blah, blah, blah. That being said, this moron comes down. He wanted to fire Foose. I'm sorry. The reason I can't believe the opposite story that not Eberflus, but that McCaskey wanted to fire Eberflus. You're the owner. You could have did that anytime you wanted to. So it has to be the other way around. And he does dumb stuff each time with Justin Fields. He's the reason Justin Fields started that game in Cleveland and took the 9 sacks. He came down and told him to put him in. Matt Nagy had said several times he had a plan for Justin to sit him out. George McCaskey comes and he destroys everything every time. We know he doesn't know anything about football. I've seen this in Detroit. Same thing that they used to do the Ford family. Just come and get in the way. George has to get out of the way. I don't think Warren is the guy to do it, although he may be the business guy to get the stadium done. But since you have Poles here, since you have him here, give him more time to build a team.
But Cliff, yes, Cliff, how much time?
Yeah, go ahead.
How much time? Because you're saying you don't know where.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me ask you, are you right? I mean, and it's a good discussion, so don't worry about it. I'm not contentious at all. But he's only had 3 years. 3 years. You tell me a team that's gone from where the Bears were prior to him.
Okay.
Overloaded with cap space, what Pace did.
I will. Cliff, I will. I'll give you a team. Cliff, I'll give you a team. Just what? Stop for 1 second. I'll give you a team. The Lions were in their third year of their rebuild last year. They were in the NFC Championship.
How about this year's Washington Redskins?
How about the Vikings, who we saw tonight, who hired their GM and head coach within weeks of the Bears hiring their GM and head coach and them being where they're at? I don't think it takes more than 3 years to rebuild in the NFL. You see teams turn. Look at what Washington did. They were a bottom feeder last year. They draft Jaden Daniels. They make a good head coach hire. They make a good offensive coordinator hire. And there they are, right in the thick of the playoff race, and with the rookie of the year head candidate.
Okay. Now we just said Washington, right?
Yes.
This is 1 year with Washington. 1 year. Now, if they go deep in the playoffs, hey, I can't say anything, which I doubt if they do. But teams don't do that often. Your top teams, Kansas City, Baltimore, basically, those are the ones I'm thinking. And don't get me wrong, I love what Detroit's doing. I think it took longer than 3 years, but that's just me, and I got to check that. But teams like that are steady, consistent, and always in the championship game, or at least getting there, they take time.
Cliff, let me ask you this. Let me ask you one quick question. And I got full phone line, so I want to ask you this question, heavy answer, and then I want to move on. If I told you, go back 3 years, right, when Ryan Poles was hired, and if I told you that 3 years later, the Bears, under his direction, would be 14-33, no playoff appearances, going on their second head coach, third offensive coordinator, and own the two longest losing streaks in franchise history, 14 in the that spanned the previous 2 years, and then the 8-game losing streak this year is tied for second. If I told you that 3 years ago when the dude was hired, you're telling me you'd be saying be patient and he needs more time?
You know why I would tell you that? Because I could also tell you that this dumb owner who's done the same thing before came down and stopped him from firing Eberflus after the second year when he saw he wasn't the guy. I would see you all the time, so I love you. But we saw that Eberflus wasn't the guy.
I agree with you there.
You know, he tried to get rid of him. And in that whole meeting, do you think, again, the owner wanted to get rid of Eberflus? He could have, because he's the owner.
Cliff, I appreciate the call. And Brian, I don't know exactly what went down as far as who wanted Eberflus fired, when they wanted him fired, who stopped who from firing him. I just know that what I just laid out right there wouldn't be good enough for anybody. Like people who were in the Ryan Poles camp and defenders and loved what he did up until this point, you maybe just don't want to admit it. But if I told you 3 years ago that this dude would have more than twice as many losses as he does wins and own the two longest losing streaks in franchise history, and we were still nowhere near competing or contending, that wouldn't be good enough for anybody.
I think that's fair. I think the other way, and let me be clear, right? I think a lot of what Cliff is saying makes sense, and I'm not a person who thinks that Ryan Poles has got to go. I think it's something we ought to be thinking about. Right, I think it's something to look at his record.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you look, not just put yourself back in time, but play it forward. What can Ryan Poles do next year to fix this team? And I think, you know, if you listen to the post game with Olin, he was saying everywhere looks like a problem. We've got problems everywhere. And so even if you say he needs more time, what can we do in the next year? What can we do in the next 2 years to fix what's here?
And that's what's scary about it is I look at this and I go, Is this just a year away? Is this just a head coach away? And I don't, like I was just saying.
It doesn't look like that. It doesn't feel like that.
But like I was just saying to Cliff, and this is a point I make all the time when we're talking about the NFL, sometimes it feels like these teams are worlds apart. And what separates the best teams in the NFL from the worst teams in the NFL is often not a whole lot. And that's why I do and I don't put a lot of stock in it when you talk about, and this Bears team is a perfect example of this. I think they have six losses of 6 points or less. And people go, oh man, they're better than their record is. And I go, no, they're not. They're every bit as bad as their record is, but that's just how close the NFL is. That's every week in this league. The majority of games are decided by somewhere between 6 and 10 points. Like that's just the way that this league is. So it tells you that when you lose those games, it's because you're just not as good as those other teams. It's not saying that you're better than what your record is, but it's also telling you that what separates you from those teams is not a whole lot. So while it looks like they're really far away right now, and it feels like they're really far away right now, they might not be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think, so one, I think that, you know, if you look at the analysis, it does show that evens out over time, right? So when you've got a team like the Vikings from a few years ago that won 10 games by 3 points, they were not as good the next year. I think these losses, the way they happened, that's something that I think there's at least three of them we can look at and say coaching, right?
Yes.
That's why Eberflus had to go.
Yes.
And I think when I question polls, I think Cliff is right. It's probably not fair to just say Caleb Williams fell in his lap. He did have to make a lot of decisions along the way to get there, right?
True.
He had to make the Carolina trade. He had to make the decision that at one time was talked about all over this radio station. Do you stick with Justin? Do you draft somebody, right?
Right.
So he had to pick him, and I think he was the consensus choice, but a lot of people were looking at Jaden Daniels, who looks great, other quarterbacks, right? So it's probably not fair to just say he fell into his lap. But when no GM is going to be always wrong or always right. And when you look at the decisions that Poles has made that are bad decisions, it starts to add up, right? He hired Eberflus, who, and the things he said about Eberflus sound like he didn't evaluate him very well, right?
Sure seems that way.
Yeah.
The Tribune reported this week, he didn't even know Eberflus was about to get fired in Indy when he hired him to be the head coach.
Yep. He, some of his other personnel decisions you can question. And then I think, you know, going back to the offensive line, which is something a lot of people identified the depth as a potential weakness.
Mm-hmm.
He came out here, he thought they were the best he's had so far. So I think it's, you know, I think that it's fair to wonder, is he the right person to pick the next guy, you know, to pick the next coach?
This text from the 815. I trust Ryan Poles. He was handed a steaming pile from Pace. Poles has done a great job of getting cap room and draft capital and has been absolutely transparent the entire time. Going back to what you said about Caleb Williams not falling in his lap. When I said that before, I just meant when he was sitting there with the first pick.
Oh, yeah.
And which quarterback to choose, picking Caleb Williams was a pretty obvious choice to most people. Yeah. I didn't mean he did nothing to end up in that situation.
Oh, look, I said it too. I'm not disagreeing.
I just mean that just because the caller before, if you weren't listening, said that because Ryan Poles picked Caleb Williams, he had his doubts about Caleb Williams because right. He doesn't trust Ryan Poles. And I said, well, I get where you're coming from, but bad GMs, bad organizations have great players land in their laps all the time.
Yeah,
and all I meant by that was when you have the first pick and he's there, and you taking him, it doesn't make you a great GM, and it doesn't. I don't necessarily question the pick if I question your abilities as a GM.
Well, and the point that caller was making is he said, if you don't like Poles, that shows you that Caleb Williams is no good.
Right.
And so that's what we were responding
right.
to.
But when he says he's done a great job of getting cap room and draft cap, and this goes right into the conversation that we're talking about with making the trade to get Caleb Williams. Dude, you have to win games. You know what I mean? Like, Ryan Poles is very good, apparently, at making deals. He fleeced Carolina. We're still reaping the benefits of that. But at the end of the day, we're 3 years into this thing. And I'll go back to what I said to Cliff earlier, who was saying we can't, you have to give him more time than 3 years. Man, I have a list that I keep in my notes so I can keep going back to this when people are preaching patience or it takes more time in the NFL. It doesn't matter what team or what situation you want to compare the Bears to. I brought up the Lions, made the NFC Championship in their third year. They might make the Super Bowl this year after losing their entire starting defense to injuries, basically, throughout the season. If we want to look at the rest of the division, the Packers traded a Hall of Fame quarterback and then all of a sudden seemed to have another one and were right back in the playoffs and this year right back in being the conversation for possibly being a Super Bowl team. If you want to look at the Vikings, Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah hired the same year as Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles. And Kevin O'Connell is making Sam Darnold off the scrap heap, an NFL reject, look like an MVP candidate, while the Bears can't do anything with a generational talent in Caleb Williams. If you want to look at coaches hired the same year as Matt Eberflus, I already mentioned Kevin O'Connell. Mike McDaniel was hired in that same year. If not for injuries, I think the Dolphins are in a much better situation than what the Bears are. And if we're looking at first-year offensive coordinators with rookie QBs, I need look no further than last year with Houston and this year with Washington. Like, all these things that people want to point to as it takes more time, it doesn't. And there are examples all over the league that it doesn't take more time, and we should be seeing more results, not just in cap space, not just in draft picks, but in actual wins and a good product on the football field.
And now we're not even, it's not that we're just missing wins. It's hard to see progress at all in any of these games, right?
Exactly.
Other than Caleb Williams' individual play, which isn't always great, it's hard to see that this team is improving in any aspect.
Right. That's the part that kills you. 312-644-6767. You're listening to a Football Monday on a Tuesday. Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Bosch Power Tools and Busey Bank. We will hear from Thomas Brown. We'll hear from Caleb Williams. We'll hear from the folks on the post-game show after the Bears lost 30-12, their eighth straight in Minnesota tonight. That's Brian Peronski, honorary co-host for the night from our Cubs for a Cure auction. I'm Rami Makhlouf, and we'll hear more from you at 312-644-6767 right after this, right here on The Score.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at chooseprimavera.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.